live series with them.
Yes.
We get rid of our television a month ago, but we have a thing where we can watch some shows. And have you guys ever watched Larry's Country Diner or not? It's right after the poker show? Okay. But he made a statement the other day. He always does a Bible verse. He pulls one out and reads it. And but he was talking about, you know, how many people here want to be a good Christian? And if I ask you that question, hey, who wants to be a good Christian? Most people raise their hands. And that's a mistake people make. You don't want to be a good Christian. You want to be like Jesus. I said, man, that makes a lot of sense, you know. I don't want to be like Fernando, okay. I want to be like Jesus. No, I mean, Fernando wants to be like Jesus, right? So if I put my eyes on him, on the Lord, then he'll shape me the way he wants to, you know. If you all want to be like I am, then we'll have 40 Starkeys running around. And we don't need that, do we? You know? Yeah. But see, if our eyes are on our Lord, and I'm going to be like Jesus, we allow his word and his presence in our life to shape us. Now, we're all not going to be the same in our walk. But that way, we might walk differently. I'm not talking about walking in sin, but we might handle things or address situations in a different manner, but still the same manner. You know? I mean, I could be planting cotton today, and Chuck and Marty would be planting corn, and you'd be planting, what would Fred plant? Let's see. Green beans. We all be farmers, okay? But we're applying our techniques and our equipment on different parts of the harvest. And that's where we are here, you know? But it's allowing the master truly to be our master. You know? And that's where we strengthen one another when we gather here today. I gotta turn the lights up a little bit there. Oh. I will not ask where she went because she'll say, you embarrassed me during church. Let there be light. Now, eventually I'm going to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. But before we get there, I just want to share with you a couple of things. Just a reminder that I'm going to read to you from Matthew, the 24th chapter. You're very familiar with this, but I just want to bring it out and bring some updates in the world around this. And the disciples were asking the Lord about, hey, when are these things going to take place? When are you coming back? And Jesus says, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. I'm in chapter 24, verse 4, if you're trying to find me in Matthew. But you will be hearing of wars and rumor of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So the Master already revealed to us the signs of his return. And I know for a lot of folks, they say, yes, this has been going on for years. And mankind has never got along with mankind. There's always been that war between different tribes and different nations. But it's never ever been this complex before. And today we see when he says that nation will rise against nation, and we can see that here in our own nation, in our own country. I mean, they are trying to get us to the point of having a civil war. You know? And we cannot allow that to take place. We cannot allow that to take place because Satan will win. We are in a spiritual battle. We're in a battle for souls being saved. We're in a battle to save a country. But I truly believe that God Almighty Himself will fight in our behalf as we continue to honor Him and allow Him right here in everything that we do. If I ask you right now, hey, what's wrong with our country? You know, what would you want to do, you want to change right now? And most of them probably give us quite a few lists, okay? Then I say, hey, listen, what would you want to change about yourself? Well, I'm pretty good, I think I am. I'm just talking about myself, okay? We're deceiving ourselves, you know? We deceive ourselves, and I'm pretty good. You know, I'm not that bad. I'm telling you what, the Master, God Himself has told us that He will heal our land as we repent from our sins and seek His face. Amen? He said that. Okay? So the only thing stopping from this country to be healed again is the church. He's not doing it for let me say them. He's doing it for us. Why would He do that? Because we have a heart for other people to be born again. We have a heart for loved ones right now who don't know Jesus to come to know Him. And we know that we repent and get away from our sins and let Him cleanse us. Let God be number one. Now I'm telling you, the hands of time will be slowed for this coming of the rapture. Well, man, why do you want to do that? Because there's loved ones out there. And not even that, there's enemies out there that Satan wants to drag to hell when he goes. And God says, listen, man, I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray for those in authority. You pray for your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you. I want them rescued out of the hands of the devil. He didn't ask us to do this. He told us to do this. Amen? So we're the follower of Jesus. That's what He wants us to do. You know, this place isn't our home. And we're always reminding ourselves that we have to be reminded, right? This place isn't our home. Now, if you ever rent a property and you live in it, you might fix it up a little bit, right? If you have a lot of problems too, you might call the landlord, okay? But when you bought your own house, man, you took care of it, right? You took care of it when something needed that, boom. Well, see, we are living in a rented house here on earth. Our main home is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven right now. And that's why our eyes have to be towards that. You know, we are to bring heaven here on earth. Isn't that awesome to do that? Think of something going haywire right now that you're aware of. You have the authority and power through the Lord to bring heaven here on earth. Instead of figuring out how to get back at your enemies, man, what can I do to show them the love of Jesus? Yeah, but you don't know what they do. Say to me, you know what kind of neighbors I have? I don't know your neighbors, Fred. I know my son's pretty close to you. But that's what we're called, to be that light. It's worth the humility it takes to humble yourself to be a good neighbor. It's to show love to those who hate you. And the Bible says it's easy to love those who love you. It's easy for us to love one another here, right? Because we're all in one accord. We all think the same. We act pretty near the same. But to love those who had nothing to do with us. To love those who today will make fun of you. So, where'd you go today? Church. You still believe that stuff? Oh, man. Yeah, I do. Okay. Well, that's where you are. We pray for them. And I don't say you're praying for them right then and grab them and start praying over them because they won't receive that. But you know, that's your mission field. I'll be praying for them at night in my prayer. I'll be praying and fasting for them. You know, their eyes be open. You know, the scripture I just read to you said, now, when the gospel is preached in all the nations, then the Lord will return. So I say, well, number one is, if you really want Christ to come back, you might want to find a mission overseas to help support. You know? Pastor Peter, I mean, you think of that. Every time that he wins the Muslims to Jesus, the treasurer has a part of that. Because he's preaching the gospel. Every little fella, well, he has an orphanage over there. A lot of them aren't little. I mean, some of them are out of the orphanage. Every time they witness to somebody and share the gospel, man, that's part of the church here. And many of you here who donate to Pastor Peter, you're helping get that gospel out there. But we cannot forget the gospel behind us, in our backyards and down the street. And that's the hardest one to do, isn't it? It's easy to write a check right now and send it somewhere overseas. And it's a good thing to do. Amen? But it's a lot harder to walk across the street and witness somebody. Amen? Because they're going to see you tomorrow or the next day. And might be because you're not perfect. See, you still got in your head that you got to be perfect to be a Christian. And we're not perfect, are we? We have a desire. Well, how can I go over and witness to them, you know, about Jesus today? And when I say about witnessing, it's not just, you know, carrying a Bible, we're just going over and being nice to them, you know, and sharing with them, you know. But how can I go tell them or comfort them when they heard me yesterday cussing out my lawnmower and went and start? No, not me. No. But can it happen? You ever get upset like that? Probably. So I open the door up. You go to your neighbor. Hey, how you doing? Okay, hey, listen. I want to apologize to you. I lost my cool yesterday, and I cussed out my lawnmower. And if I offended you, I'm sorry. I ain't like me anymore. I just lost my cool. Wow. A Christian who's admitting they're not perfect? That's a new thing, isn't it? I mean, see, God can take our imperfections and change it. I testified before, when a cow kicked me so hard, I cussed. And I was a preacher. I didn't know I still had it in me. But I got the chance to apologize to people in the milk house, you know? So yeah, we're just not perfect. That's where he called us. But he says, he talks about famines and earthquakes. And just, again, just going to bring you up to par here for a minute. I made a mistake Wednesday night. We was talking about it. And I said there was 300,000 acres in California that has dried up. That was a mistake. In fact, there's 800,000 acres in California are now is dried. And folks, we get a third of the United States vegetables come from California. So just showing that these things are taking place. And it's not going to slow down. I understand. It's not going to stop. Now, birth pains, Jesus described it as birth pains, and again, you ladies know what that's all about. I had no idea. I just know the more she yelled in labor, I smoked another cigarette. I mean, but it started, and sometimes there's a little break in between the pains, you rest a little bit, and then when the pain kicks in again, then you don't want to see my face anymore, and okay. But this is where our nation is right now. You know, so God doesn't want you to be fearful of this because I already warned you up front. This is going to be the sign of my coming, you know. But be prepared for it. There will be a great food shortage coming this fall because of this, but because of man himself. Okay, there's a big squeeze play going on to choke us out, put it that way. Control the food, they say. Control the people, but, you know. I do not live on bread alone, but for every word that comes from the body of God. So we eat food, but God is our food, His word. And He said, I'll meet your needs. Just follow me, listen to me. And He's already giving me warnings up. Now, if I told you this Friday, and I'm just telling you, this Friday, I know it, there's going to be no gas available in Coshocton to purchase. So here, this is Sunday, you're sitting here on half a tank of gas. What would you do? You fill it up, wouldn't you? Now, would you say, well, I ain't going to worry about it. I know it's true. But come Friday, got to meet my needs. I believe that He already met your need when He told you that Friday the gas is going to be... Now, again, I'm making this up. It's not prophecy, okay? I pray it's not. But I'm saying He's already told you on Friday, okay? And here you are. You got plenty of advance notice. Okay, I better get gas today. And you get gas and you go to another store and you're talking to some friends. Hey, you get gas yet? There's not going to be any gas Friday. What do you mean? Well, I just heard, you know, let's say, well, I heard in church today that the prophecy was there's no gas coming Friday. I don't believe that stuff. Okay, you don't have to. But come Friday, look at him. Okay, so this is the same way of the Word of God. I mean, these things are going to be taking place. I'm telling you up front, he says, my return. Why would he tell us in advance? Number one, to let us know, not to be encouraged that we're that close to the coming of Jesus. But at the same time, say, okay, there's going to be famine coming this fall, food shortage. But man, he's called us to share the gospel. He's called us to love our enemies. He called us to feed those who are hungry. How are we going to do it? Well, I better maybe get some food now. Amen? Do what you want. I'm just telling you, he's already told us up front. It's going to be taking place. Not to be hoarders. It will do you no good to pack your house full of food when it really gets nasty and lock your doors and sit in the dark for the next 3 years, 4 years. Would it? But he didn't call us to do that. Amen? He's trusted us with the gospel and his strength. It's not us. I can't do nothing on my own anymore. I found that out a long time ago. But he trusted when we said, Lord, take my life. Just take it. You know, take my sinful ways. And I receive the forgiveness. Now I'm yours. So, okay. Let's put some food over here. Okay. And then so we need to do this. He'll lead you on what they need to be doing. But these are things that are coming our way. Lake Mead, we was talking the other night. Lake Mead is another lake. The water comes from Mead, from the Hoover Dam, I believe it is. Is that the Hoover Dam out there? West? Yes. It is 75% dried up. There's 7 states that get their water from Lake Mead and from the reservoirs. And now the government is getting ready to restrict the water for the farmers out there to get it out of there. I figure by a year from now, it's going to be dried up. I mean, we're talking about water. Famines and earthquakes, he says. But again, it shows us what Christ has spoke of is taking place. But not to be fearful. He's warned you up front. And now I'm curious on this one here is that we have 87,000 IRS agents that was hired this past week or being hired. But it doesn't really bother me. I have no money for the audit. I mean, we were blessed years ago. We got a surprise audit and they sent me a check. They sent us money. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that concerns me is that these 87,000 IRS agents are being armed. Now, the IRS agents are only going to investigate Americans, right? On our border wall, well, we don't have a border wall. On our border, we cannot arm our agents. So when he says, and many shall be put to death. I'm not saying that they're coming. I'm just saying, why do we have to arm 87,000 new IRS agents? And from our understanding, a lot of them are coming from Antiva, BLM. They're hiring from that group. It already hates us. You know? Again, he says that many of you put to death. I'm not saying that's what's going to take place here. But he says, but many will fall away. Now, let's say you file your taxes and it shows on there that you contribute money to a church or a missionary or something. Something for the work of the Lord. Is there going to be a red flag? Let's see, over here, this person over here donated money to Pastor Peter or whatever it might be. And this one here gave money to the Hells Angels to build a new bar. Which one do you think they're going to be opposed to? So what will happen is that people will be scared. Some people will fall away from doing the work of the Lord and supporting God's things because they don't want to be picked on. I don't have no agent coming. I don't want to be audited. How many of them sitting right now, man, I hope they don't audit me. You may have thought the Lord, that's what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? But it just makes you, okay, I know what's going on here, Lord. But hey, I'm yours. Everything I have belongs to you. I'm going to continue to use it for you. But they're trying to scare people. This tactic, you know, we said last week that they took down Mr. Trump. The main reason, to scare anyone who stands up for the right for life. You know, I don't understand anything about Mr. Trump. I'm not saying that. But I do believe he was a tool in the hand of God that he used to stand up for the right for life. Stand up for marriage the way it's supposed to be defined. Stand up for our Constitution. You know, I truly believe that he's being used by God because we cried out and prayed for someone to be raised up. Again, I don't understand everything that Mr. Trump does. I'm just saying that I think they're trying. It'd be like someone came in and took me out right now. Someone came in and took me out. He arrested me for preaching the gospel. Drug me out. How many here would take off? I'm not asking. I'm just saying how many. They were going to do that to shut you up. Well, okay, we'll arrest Starkey and get him out of here. And then rest of the day, they're going to be too scary. If we can take Starkey down. Not nobody, but some people in town know me. He said, man, if they arrest him, they'll arrest anybody. We're going over here. We're going to leave. And same way I believe with Mr. Trump. If they come after him, they'll come after anybody. But who's coming after him? It's the evil one. Trying to shut down the things of God because revival is taking place. Eyes and ears are being opened more and more. And it's a movement that they're trying to stop. It's the movement itself. Mr. Trump was just a tool. Are you just a tool in God's hand also? Yes. It's God. Yeah, it's just a tool. But that's what they're trying to shut down. So now they're going to arm these IRS agents. Purpose? I don't know. I mean, it could be that they hired McGrath for the mob and take all the illegal monies and stuff in. But I don't think that's going to take place. But again, he says these things will be taking place. We trust in the Lord. We follow him. We seek for wisdom how to respond and what to do. Amen. That's what he wants us to do. But again, these signs are taking place. But he says, he reminds us here, you know, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all, and then the end will come. Lawlessness is increased, and most people's love will grow cold, and we have to watch out for that. We all can get ourselves caught up in this. Amen. We're still, you know, I was speaking earlier today. When we got born again, the Spirit of God came in their life. The Holy Spirit come. It's like a lion tamer came inside of a lion and is trying to tame them. And we're still trying to get our flesh under control. But maybe I understand, man, we have to watch out. And not to don't return hate with hate. And the only way we can do that is stay in love and stay in prayer and stay in the Word of God. You know, your song we sang, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. Man, think of that. When you think, oh, I can't take it no more, let's think about Jesus. Turn your eyes on him. Open the Word of God up and read it. And the more we keep our eyes on the Lord, the less we're going to be frustrated anyway. Amen? Amen. But that's some of the good news we have there this morning, you know, just showing the signs taking place. And not to be weary. Now the earthquakes, you know, as they increase and stuff, we know that California is sitting on a pretty good place. Ohio is. We're sitting on a great fault line. Quite a few of them around the United States, you know. And that can be in a twinkle of an eye. It hits. Highway shut down. You know, you can't get to Burger King for dinner. Yeah. Only I make out Chuck and Marty's place. We'll have food, but prime rib, yeah. One of the, you know, out west in part of the county, in northern, southern part of Millersburg, they had cattle rustling going on for a couple weeks. And they caught them last week. I thought, man, I can imagine if they came down south and got one of Chuck and Marty, they would blame me. I'd be the number one suspect, you know. But I want us to go to 2 Corinthians. Anybody have any questions about the end times? Anybody back here? No? Okay. Remember this, though. Toilet paper. We found that out a long time ago. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. And I want to share a few verses here. And You know, our focus here lately has been on intercessory prayer, praying for other people, but at the same time, having other people pray for you. Prayer is very powerful. And this first part of scripture that I want to share today, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. And I don't know if you read that yet or not. It's an awesome, it's more of a, it went back to the original Hebrew and Greek and brought it forward with a more modern, not using the King English. And so I want to share this with you. Now, this is Brother Paul. Now, Paul is one of the, well, he's the best known probably apostle. And we think about, man, how great all the works that he did. What I love about Paul is he truly shares his heart. You know, how many people here, seriously, had a bad week this week? Had made a lot of stuff going on. Who had a perfect week this week? All right. Praise God. Yeah. But see, to be a follower of Jesus and to be able to admit, man, I had a rough week, that is being honest. You know that? And when you say, I had a rough week this week, it means a lot because people look at you and you're a follower of Jesus and you're still having a rough week, but you're still going through stuff, right? You haven't gave up on it. It's how I encourage other people. It's when people start thinking that Christians are perfect people and we bring across that attitude that we're perfect and we let people see our flaws, we're doing an injustice, I believe. You know, to me, you go back to the days of Ozzie and Harriet. Some of you might be too young for that. Okay, Leave It to Beaver. Okay. To look at them, if you get married, you have this perfect marriage, you look at them, oh man, that's awesome. But was that reality? No. And so we might get married thinking, man, I'm going to be ward, my wife is going to be... June, there you go, yes. Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, and you can find out later on it wasn't that way. Turned out to be more marriage was like the show, remember the old show, Dark Shadows? but see, we grow up with a false idea of what marriage is. And we don't realize that marriage is a living, breathing organism. And it's not, how did I post the other day? A perfect marriage is two imperfect people learning to forgive one another, something of that nature. And my parents, I don't ever remember them arguing that I know of. And I knew they had to argue. With five kids and three foster children. Yeah, I would think so. My dad should have learned the word, or mom should have learned the word no. Maybe that's what made the argument. But this is Brother Paul sharing his heart in his writing. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 1. And he says, now our hope for you is unshakable. So he's talking to those, he's talking to the church, he's talking to those, like talking to us. Because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in God's comforting strength. Brothers and sisters, you need to know about the severe trials we experienced while we were in Western Turkey. And listen, I want you to understand this. This is not a cakewalk, Paul saying. Serving the Lord, living for Jesus, sharing the gospel. I'm telling you what, we went through some severe trials. You know, we're not hanging out and eating steak every night and being welcomed in the home. I just want to let you know, man, you're a partner of mine because you've been praying for me. But man, the severe trials, I want you to understand this. Was he looking for sympathy from the people? No, you'll find out here in a minute. He says, all the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. This is Brother Paul saying, man, it was so heavy walking this Christian life, doing what the Master called us to do. It crushed us beyond our ability to endure. This is Paul. One who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we were so completely overwhelmed that we were about you were about ready to give up entirely. Again, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Paul had an encounter with Jesus. Knocked off the horse. I mean, boom, you talk about... He knew that Jesus Christ is Lord. Called by the Lord to share the gospel. And he said, man, I got to tell you what. We are so overwhelmed by the persecution. Overwhelmed by those hating us. Overwhelmed by the doors being shut in our face. Overwhelmed by the punishment coming against us. We are about ready to give up entirely. Man. And what would have happened if they all gave up? Man, we wouldn't be here today. No. But they didn't give up. And because of that, we're here today because the gospel stayed alive. Amen? It's been preached, handed down. And folks, given to you and I today, as Paul was committed to the Lord, and we are committed to the Lord, we have the same calling on our life. And maybe today you might be getting the point, man, I just can't take this anymore. It's getting so bad because of the persecution of other people. But for some of us, boy, I just can't hardly take this anymore. I'm sick and tired of fighting inside myself all the time. I'm sick and tired of wanting to go back to where I come from. I'm sick and tired of not knowing what God's called me to do. I'm sick and tired of surrendering myself to my own stinking thinking. But I'm tired of feeding my flesh. But I'm tired of, man, I want to do good. I want to do what the Lord, I want to be like Jesus, but I'm so sick and tired of failing all the time. About ready to give up, to throw it all in, it ain't worth it all. That's the pressure you're living in right now. The time is short, and Satan knows that. And we read the prophecies and stuff, he knows them also. He knows the time is short, and so the pressure that you put on yourself and the pressure around that, and the pressure you're receiving right now from the people you're hanging out with is coming. If it's not of the Lord, man, it's there to squash you. And you say, man, I'm about ready to give up. Don't give up. Just get into a different environment. Get more, be in the environment of the Master. If we are in the world, we know that. We got to testify and witness. But don't let the world be in you. You got to kick the world out. You got to say, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Turn your back on the world and the things of the past. And those that you're hanging around that's bringing you back where you come from, they want to take you back, get out of there. Is it Jesus that we love? Is it Jesus who died for us? Jesus was buried and rose up from the grave to redeem us from our sins. Now He comes into our life and He strengthens us. We have that Holy Spirit. We just got to have that desire. Again, don't look at me. I mean, you got to, I'm in front of you, but look at Jesus. So, man, you know, I'm about like Starkey, and if he's going to make it to heaven, I'm the same way. You don't know my heart. You don't know my struggles. You don't know the attacks I get all the time of Satan. Like right now, four of you guys are waiting for dinner. Two of you say, well, I hope you don't preach much longer. Unless you're right, people are laughing. No. Been there. Yeah. But I'm saying, don't give up. What you're feeling isn't any different than Paul. And what Paul is saying, say, listen, you have been with me in my sufferings. He's talking to the church. And if Paul was here today, alive today, he'd be saying, hey man, you've been with me in my sufferings. He's thinking, how have I been in his sufferings? Because they were praying for him. Let me go on. Verse 9. It felt like we had a death sentence written upon our hearts, and we still feel it to this very day. It has taught us to lose all faith in ourselves and to place all of our trust in the God who raises the dead. And we get that point that we can't go on, I just can't do anymore. That's a good point to be. You want God to raise you up and say, man, it has to be God. God through me. You can love that person. God through me. Because I can't do it. And God will raise you and strengthen you. Verse 10 says, He has rescued us from terrifying encounters with death. And now we fasten our hopes on Him to continue to deliver us from death yet again. As you labor together with us through prayer, because there are so many interceding for us, our deliverance will cause even more people to give thanks to God. What a gracious gift of mercy surrounds us because of your prayers. If the saints weren't praying for Paul, they'd been wiped out. That's the strength that your prayer has on other people. And that's the same strength people praying for you can have on you. Well, Brother Paul, he's been honest. Man, listen, it was so terrible. I just, so much torture going on here. I'm about ready to give up. I already throw the towel in. But what kept him gone was the praying of the church, praying for him, spiritual battle. How were they suffering? Well, when you support your enemy, and when you support your people, the enemy will come after you. You know, I might be, you know, I might be the one up here today holding a sword, going after the enemy, all right? But you guys threw an offering and bought me that sword. Oh. And two people here are the one that made the sword. So, how can I get the sword in my hand? I'm so stubborn. Oh, we can't move Starkey. We're going after ones donating the money. Or we're going after the person who built it. Or the person who's farming the metal out of the earth. See, it all comes together. You know? And so, as we are in these ages right now, and we are praying for men and women that God has called to be an authority over us. We intercede and pray, God, just give them the strength. You know, this Wednesday I'm going to be fasting for 12 hours just praying for our judges, people who know the truth, to be boldness to stand up for it. Amen? That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying because people out there have been intimidated and scared. I don't blame them. I mean, we are fighting a giant. But I've seen our God take down a giant with one stone. One stone that was led by the Lord and destroyed the enemy. And that's who you are. When you pray, intercede, oh Lord, I just pray today, whoever you're praying for, I just bind that thing coming against them. I just speak truth into them, God, and boldness, and a hedge of protection around them and their family. You just threw a stone at the giant. You're trying to kill the thing that's trying to kill the work of God's hand. That was a little fellow that did that. That was David when he was a youngster yet. It wasn't the big men that had all the brass and stuff on them, protection. It was David down there saying, I knew my God. Because he knew God had called him to do that. He knew God was going to give him the strength and direction. I mean, right then, forehead. Yeah, it was God that gave him that shot. And same with us. Even we sit here around at times and think, man, I ain't nobody. I don't have a name. I'm not Billy Graham, or I'm not this person or that person. You don't have to be. You weren't called to be a Billy Graham. I wasn't called to be. You. And as you're focused on this world, on the movement of God, He'll show you the giants that need to be taken down. And our weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Intercede and pray. And folks, right now, if you're in a battle right now, and man, I just can't really go on, you got to quit fighting this battle by yourself. Brothers and sisters, come along together to intercede and pray for you. To stand in a gap with you. Just like Brother Paul. I mean, if Brother Paul, if his struggle was the point where he's about ready to give up, our struggles were still the same. And prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing. praying for our nation, praying for boldness, praying for our children and our children's children. Amen. Prayer makes a difference. When you pray for Pastor Peter, when you pray for wherever God laid upon your heart your prayer list, you pray for your kids, grandkids, each other, you're making a difference. You truly are. And when you pray and the things seem like you're getting worse, then you know you're doing a good job. Because Satan won't, like, he'll try to wear you down. I give up. I've been praying for them for a year and a half and they're getting worse. I just... Either two things, either you don't have a connection with God, okay, or you're fighting an enemy by yourself. And I'm telling you what, the enemy is no more powerful than us coming together. One calls a thousand to flee, two 10,000, it multiplies. You know, I just want to encourage you that don't fight these battles by yourself. You know, that's what you have pastors for, brothers and sisters that sort out to the Lord. You know, come to us, call us. I'm not going to have anybody stand up in the middle of church saying, I got trouble with this here, because we don't need to do that. But I'm going to say, we're here for you. We don't care what your struggle is, we would never think any less of you. Because we all come through the same temptation. We all come through the same walk. The enemy will do his best to take us down. Amen? Amen. But be encouraged with them. In these days that we're in, you know, rejoice that God has chosen you to live in these things. Okay, God, what do we do today? The devil's a liar. Amen? Amen. Questions? Comments? If you're sitting here thinking, boy, I don't know, pastor gets too political at times. I'm not political. I'm just telling you the way it is. The devil's on both sides. We want to talk about parties, Republicans and Democrats. We're talking good versus evil. Jesus said, you're either being used for me or you're used against me. So, if you have questions, let me know or track me down or have coffee afterwards. The church here will have a bite to eat and we'll share. But well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he turn his face toward you and give you peace. May he continue to cover you. May the Holy Spirit continue to strengthen you. And may every step that we take this week be for God's glory. May we remember the victory we have through the blood of Jesus and through his word and through our testimony. May his blessings rest upon you and your household and all the generations that come after you. That God may be glorified through all that we do. In Jesus' name. And Father, we do come before you today to intercede for our country once again. Father, we pray today for our children. And our children, school bus drivers and teachers and school buildings, Father, we just speak a hedge of protection around each one of them and declare that no evil may enter those doors, Father God. That any evil that's being raised up against those children will be exposed before it is taking place, Father. We just pray for discernment for those involved. And God, that inside the walls of our schools, that truth will be spoken, truth will be taught. The lies of the devil will be removed. And we pray for boldness for teachers and principals and all those involved to stand up on things that are not just in the eyes of the Lord. That our children be taught right. Taught of our country history the way it stands. And taught of you, Lord. Wise man once says, if we ever take the Bible out of school for teaching, we'll be in trouble. And we see that now, Lord. I pray for parents to have strength, Father, and grandparents, whoever are raising their children, to stand boldly upon your word. And God, that lovingly they help direct their children and their children's children on the right path. and not to give in to the cries of, hey, everybody else is doing it, everybody else is wearing this, everybody else is buying it. Lord, that they would stand and you would strengthen them to stand upon your word and not give way to the peer pressures, Father. We pray for those in authority over us today, Lord. We pray, first of all, their eyes to be opened, Father, to the truth. They would see Jesus as Savior and Lord. And those who already have their eyes open, those who are already walking with you, God, we pray for strength and boldness for them to stand up and speak the truth, stand up for laws that will glorify you, Father, and not to be intimidated. That for our elected officials, for our judges, Father. But God, we pray today for those in authority over us who are there to destroy us, to stop the ways of you, Lord, that they be neutralized and removed from power. Removed from power, that justice be served in this country, Father. But even through that, that their eyes be opened to see you, Lord. We pray for men and women to be raised up for these offices that's going to glorify you, God, and stand for this Constitution that we have, our Bill of Rights, God, that has been woven together by you, that this nation will continue to be a light on the hill. We'll continue to share the ways of God to be glorified and continue to reach out to other nations. And God, may we always support Israel. We pray for today for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray for the peace in our household. Help us, God. We have a heart desire, man, to be as bold as lions, Lord. Help us to overcome any intimidations. Help us recognize our own enemies. And God, help us that we may be humble before you and seek for help that we need. All of this we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good.